Before selfies, holiday bragging came by post. Emma fondly recalls the cheerful messages that painted a rosier picture than reality ever quite managed. This time of year, my social media accounts are flooded with pictures of friends lounging near swimming pools in sun-drenched destinations, leaving nobody in any doubt that they are having a great holiday somewhere warm. Their posts, which are often rapidly updated, include everything from adventurous hikes to photos of what they are eating for dinner. That's become the way of things nowadays. You can snap a selfie, type a quick message, and send it to your friends and family in an instant. And if that's not enough, you can get immediate endorsement by means of a virtual thumbs up. Given that I personally think it foolhardy to broadcast your absence from home on social media, it got me thinking about the sensible alternatives of yesteryear. I came to the conclusion that postcards were our way of letting our loved ones know we were having a good time. As with many things in life these days, the convenience of social media has eclipsed the good old-fashioned postcard, making it a rarity to receive a physical holiday communication in the post. But in their heyday, during the Edwardian era, around 800 million postcards were sent in Britain each year. Commissioned by the British Post Office, postcards were introduced to the UK in 1870, according to the Postal Museum. They included an imprinted halfpenny stamp which covered the price of postage, printed on one side only to allow the message to be printed on the other side, and costing half the price of sending a letter. Postcards enabled concise correspondence without the formality or expense. Whilst most of us associate postcards with pictures, illustrated postcards produced by private publishers were not accepted by the post office until 1894. In these early designs, one whole side of the card was used for the address and the stamp, with an ultra-concise message squeezed alongside the picture. During the First World War, postcards provided a vital means of communication for troops, taking just 2 days to get from Britain to the front line. However, to prevent possible information leaks, soldiers' postcards were censored and had their captions crossed out to hide the location of the sender. For my family, and probably most in the UK, postcards are synonymous with the seaside. The British seaside holiday became cheaper and more accessible with the expansion of the Victorian railways, and postcard producers were quick to capitalise. Portrait photographer James Bamforth started producing postcards in 1903 and cashed in on the seaside market, eventually achieving notoriety for their saucy illustrated designs. Although we might deem these images amusing by today's standards, in the early 1900s, censorship boards were established to decide if a postcard was suitable for sale. Looking back, we received multiple postcards during the summer from family and friends, even though most had travelled less than an hour to their holiday destination. But the opportunity to tell us what a lovely time they were having was too good to miss. We always laughed when my aunt wrote on her postcards, "Boiling hot on the beaches," when we knew the reality was it had been foggy and overcast, given that they were less than 30 miles away. But whatever the weather, the pictures on the postcards always showed the destination in all its glory, which sent a touch of sunshine back to us. I'm not saying that postcards didn't have their drawbacks. For example, my mum used to source stamp and send hers minutes after we'd arrived on holiday in order to ensure that they made it home before us. Sometimes they would mysteriously get waylaid in the post and arrived 2 weeks after our holiday was a distant memory. On one occasion, a former boyfriend went on safari to Africa, and I didn't hear from him for 3 weeks. "I sent you a postcard," he protested, when I complained about the lack of communication. Said postcard arrived a full 3 weeks after he'd returned, and my annoyance had long since abated. It was one of those occasions when a brief message on social media would have been welcome, just to confirm he hadn't been eaten by a lion. But whenever a postcard eventually arrived, there was something special about receiving a physical memento which made you feel as if you had shared the experience in some small way with the holidaymaker. As a child, I thought it odd that you wrote a message on the back of the postcard, which could be read by the postman or any other person who handled it en route. But by comparison to the public nature of social media these days, I guess it seems positively private. For me, there's also the tangible nature of a physical postcard, which eclipses the transience of any social media post.